Clarksdale is an amazing place. I've been through three or four times in my life, but it's been a few years. But between my first visit and my most recent, a lot of change had happened. Ground Zero had sprung up. The Delta Blues Museum had just gotten going. And it's been a town, it's such a pilgrimage for those who love American music. I know it's on a Mississippi Blues Trail, which is inviting tourists from all over the world who love music to come and kind of see and feel and be a part of the music legacy there. But tell me what Clarksdale's like to grow up in as a town.
Well, I'll say this, Clarksdale, they call it a blues town, but it, you know, is really a blues town. You know, there's a lot of poverty and, you know, we have our fair share of crime. And, so, you know, all of that plays into the blues. When I was coming up, the blues was heavy. It was played in my neighborhood. I lived right next to a blues band, so I would go to their rehearsal sessions, and they would let me check out their music. So it was all around 24/7 because a lot of the guys didn't die at the they were still alive at the time. But as I got older and I got more interested, I kind of didn't have a lot of resources to go to because everything died down because all the guys had passed on and no one was really doing it. Oh. So, yeah, so it was kind of, you know, it was kind of more, I'm trying not to say boring, but it was kind of more like, you know, it was kind of like dying off for me, you know, around the time I got older. And so that's when I got in.
And your interest in the music, and you started playing real young, right?
Right, right. Around the age of, I'd say like, 5, 1, 5, I got into drums, but that was more like a church thing. Yeah. Around the age of 8, that's when I went to the Delta Blues Museum. And I'm originally a bass player, and I played bass like all the way up to 14, and that's when I switched over to guitar. And let me backtrack a little bit. I'm also heavily church influenced as well.
Naturally. And the talk about the drums and the bass being a great background to being able to learn to play the guitar in a way that links up with a band more completely.
Well, one thing, the bass and the drum, you know, that's the foundation. And when you're a bass player, for me, like when you're a bass player, it's kind of like you're learning like a drum because you're learning about the one and you learn about timing and, you know, and being in sync with the, you know, with the bass drum. So it's pretty much the same. So when you take all of that, when you're trying to learn guitar, you can understand playing, you know, playing rhythm guitar in pocket a little more with the, you know, in sync. You can kind of put all that together because Fasheek, Nile Rodgers, he's very percussive with his rhythm playing. Yeah. And, you know, you can add all that in, you know, from just, you know, pretty much just learning the foundation of bass and drums.
You've done clearly a lot of eclectic listening, but your blues definitely is in sync with those who really love to hear the sound of tradition. You seem dedicated on record anyway, a classic take on the blues, which puts so much expression in a smaller box, you know, and I love this. I love how much feeling can happen in a more constrained musical environment. And when did you feel like you were being led that way? Why did the traditional blues, acoustic and electric, really speak to you more than any others as to be an artist in?
Well, I'll say this with me coming from Clarksdale, Mississippi, and with Clarksdale being like the, you know, Mecca for the Delta blues, in Mississippi Delta, you know, you kind of have this thing on you where, it's a must that you play, you know, and pay homage, you know, to the guys who, guys who came before you. Because I dibble and dabble in a lot of things like rock music and funk and soul. And I try, you know, and I do try to mix the two because, you know, for me, you know, the aim is to get more young people and more people in general to know about the blues. Mm. But there's a slippery slope because you can mix it too much to where it sounds like something else. So I try to keep everything sounding new and fresh. but deeply rooted in the, you know, but deeply rooted in the tradition, you know, where I'm not disrespecting the genre, you know?
Yeah. And you've got both acoustic and electric expression on the Kingfish record.
Right.
So talk about the country blues and the electric.
When it comes to acoustic blues, I'm definitely into Lightning Hoppers. That's my dude. I love Lightning Hoppers. So when we did Hoppers, I wanted to model that a little bit after Lightning and Sun House and others. Playing acoustic blues is, for me, I love it because a lot of people don't know it really exposes you. You know, some guitar players. Right, you know, it really exposed people because people, you know, when you play an electric, you can hide, but that acoustic, you know, you can't hide like that. So that's what I love about that. And with me coming from Clarksdale, you know, I saw acoustic, you know, just as much as I saw dudes playing, you know, electric. So it was regular for me. So that's why I was so cool. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is. You know, just one exposes you while the other one you can hide. And I think I like doing both.
Well, it also makes for a more complete show when you're taking an audience through a night.
Right. And it adds variety, you know, pretty much what you just said in a nutshell, because like at one time when I first started doing touring, we was just doing straight electric all through. And then we weren't doing any of the acoustic songs off the record. So when I added some in, we kind of, you know, the fans responded well to it because we take them down from the high electric energy to a more cool tone, bring back up. So it, you know, it turned out great.
I grew up in Durham, North Carolina, and it was wonderful. I knew at the time that we called my region of the state the Piedmont, but it was only later, college and after, when I sort of going through roots music and I began to realize that there was this school of music called Piedmont Blues. I'd heard Elizabeth Cotton play live as a kid at a festival, and then I began to discover that Reverend Gary Davis had been part of the Durham music community at one time, Cephas and Wiggins. And I just spent a lot of time working on the acoustic guitar from that school, that ragtime feeling. And so the technical difficulty of it, I know so well. Never got terribly good, but okay, I got passable anyway.
Oh, man, well, maybe pass some of that on to me then.
I don't think so. Tell me the role that the Delta Blues Museum played in bringing you along.
Well, for one, my dad, he showed me a Muddy Waters documentary, and then he took me to the Delta Blues Museum, and that's when I started to learn about all the Delta legends and some of the local heroes. The lady, the director of the program, Miss Shelley Ritter, she ended up showing my dad the class. That's when I got enrolled the first time, and I was on drums. Then I stopped going for a minute, then went back and when I was 8 and started bass. And they were pretty much a great help. Daddy Rich, Richard Chrisman, and Bill Hollymad Perry, who actually gave me the name Kingfish, and Anthony Sherrod. They all taught us about the, you know, blues standards, you know, and the fundamentals, and I know the names of the guitar. And whenever we would get done with the music, sometimes we pull out the books and we would learn, you know, stuff, you know, they would have us read, you know. So it was, you know, it was really a class, you know. We were just in there playing and, you know, bowling all day, you know.
Nice. I'm so glad that institution is alive and well and serving young people. So I know I've known about Alligator Records and Bruce Iglauer for many, many years, and I admire the heck out of that label and their commitment to being independent, and then in recent years to signing younger talent, Sylwan Birchwood and so forth, and yourself. Talk just briefly about getting connected with Alligator and what kind of record you all talked about making for a debut statement.
Well, I had met Bruce a few times when I was coming up, and this record we did with Mr. Buddy Guy and Tom Hambridge. I actually talked to Tom what type of record I wanted, pretty much traditional but kind of forward, and he ended up sending the record to Bruce after it was done, and Bruce was like, "What he heard? Yeah." So we pretty much shopped the record, pretty much, and Bruce ended up liking what he heard. And like I said, we had already established a relationship, you know, from previous years, and everything came together, and it was, you know, the rest is kind of like history, as they said. So then, mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm definitely grateful, you know, for all of them, man. I really appreciate it.
And when did you commit to writing? I think it may not be the entire record, but I mean, this is a record of original songs,
right?
In a traditional space, but you feel like you need to add to the repertoire and put your own stamp on it. So talk about that part. Why the songwriting? And it's terrific writing, if I may say.
Well, for one, I remember Kev Moe telling me the first time I met him in the flesh, he was in, you know, you have longevity, you know, by singing your own, you know, your own stuff, you know, because you can't be singing someone else's story. And sometimes, you know, it is what it is. Some songs become over, you know, I don't know if this is, you know, like the correct term, but they become overdone. Yeah. So I feel like with me being young in the blues and I need to tell my story, I just pretty much took my life experiences and put them into blues and wanted to show the world what was going on in my head and, you know, how I would, you know, take certain scenarios and put them in songs and blues and standard form and stuff like that. And Outside This Town is a great example of that. Like that song came from the heart because that was one of, like, the first songs I felt, you know, comfortable and confident about, because it was really me, you know. So yeah.
I guess at your age, you probably have to do some writing in the blues, some songwriting where you're going to be maybe writing toward a level of experience and life experiences that you haven't entirely had yet. You know, you have to,
you have to
kind of occupy.
Exactly. Like, hey, sometimes you got to put that in there, you know, spice up a little bit, you know.
I hope you haven't had your heart broken enough by age 21 that you've got
Yes, I have.
I guess it happens to all of us. You earned a lot of attention as a young guy and built up to this release, a release very well received, a Grammy nomination, and then recently 5 Blues Music Awards, including Guitarist, which is extraordinary, and Album. So congratulations on that. It must be quite something to feel all this attention and to process it. And I just love to know how you're kind of managing it and who is in your life to help you keep your head on straight.
Well, you know, I have my family, of course, and I have my big bros on the road, like Juntavious Willis and Marquise Knox and, you know, a whole lot of others, you know, that's, you know, helped me. And, you know, I have my manager, Rick, who's a tremendous help. And, man, I'm just riding the wave, man. What people don't understand about success, it can all be taken from you just like that. So the best way for you to handle it is, man, just keep a level head, keep your feet on the ground, and, man, just keep it pushing and try to kick ass, man. So, yeah, that's what I'm pretty much on. So, yeah.
Can't wait till folks get to hear you live again, and I'm sure you're just bugging about it. How much are you practicing in the downtime here? How much do you play a day?
I'm practicing a whole lot more, man, because, like I said, I'm getting into the session work and I'm tracking, like, my own stuff and everything like that. So I'm in here, like, creating a lot. So I've written a couple lines for some songs and everything. So, like, man, this is on the good side of this. This has been a great time for, you know, artists to, you know, get creative and, you know, have the juices flowing and come out with a whole lot of product.
Great. Christone Kingfish Ingram, I really appreciate your time, sir.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity.